from his studios in New York. It's time for Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, where sports meets life. Here's your host, Dan Tortora.
Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. It's an honor and a privilege to say that I am proudly today live from Toronto, Ontario, Canada for the first ever international Wake Up Call broadcast.
What?
That's right, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, up here with the Toronto Raptors, Toronto Blue Jays, Toronto Maple Leafs. It's an absolutely wonderful, amazing city. It's been so good to me for such a long time, and we had yet to do an international show. So today on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, a special day in honoring someone who did so much for the United States of America, for people around the world to see, and to be able to celebrate the first international show on the same day as Martin Luther King Day means a lot. So let me just first and foremost say thank you to Dr. King, and also a big thank you to Toronto, Ontario, Canada, because I feel so great to be here and so blessed to be here, and I truly appreciate it.
Okay!
So now, without further ado, I have Dale Shackelford on the line live with me, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum and the co-host of our pregame shows at Saltine Warrior Sports Pub on 214 West Water Street in Syracuse, New York. And just, you know, as the amazing person and friend that he is, he found out I was doing a show internationally from Toronto, Ontario, Canada today, and he joined me to be a part of history. So, Dale, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing very good, Dan. Unfortunately, you know, I don't get to celebrate Dr. King's birthday. I have to work today.
Yeah, and you know, to me, and I want to ask you that first and foremost, you know, I've been in, when I was in school in New York, it was a holiday. When I was in school in Pennsylvania, certain parts of Pennsylvania, it was not. What can you say about, you know, Martin Luther King and what he means, not just to, you know, African-American culture, but to America, to our history? Because I don't think there should be an African-American museum and a Jewish museum and an Italian museum. I think that it should be an American museum of how we've all come together throughout history. And without people like Dr. King, you know, things aren't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but they wouldn't be what they are without Dr. King. So what can you say about at least honoring him in some way for what he did in his lifetime?
Well, I agree with you on the, you know, the different museums. I mean, I don't think that America was born on segregation. We should all, you know, be one as a nation. Everybody should really celebrate, you know, all the holidays, regardless of the race, religion, creed, whatever. And, you know, that's what is, you know, it's starting to make America better. I hope that it will continue that way. I've never really experienced any of the prejudices in my life. In all the times that I've grown up, I know some of my friends have, but, you know, it's how you look at it, and it's, you know, making sure that, you know, people understand that we're all human, we're all trying to strive to be successful and, you know, do the same things.
Absolutely, you know, and to look at that equality and the importance of it. You know, being up here in Toronto, let me ask you this first of all, because you've been up to Toronto, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't. Okay, so go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I haven't been to Toronto. I've been to Montreal a few times, but I've never had the opportunity to spend any time in Toronto.
But when you go up to Canada, you know, and you've spent some time up here, you know, I said we had a really nice server yesterday, and we were talking to her about, you know, how nice everybody is in Canada and how sweet everyone is and whatnot. And she said, you know, we get away. She said, somehow we get away with being very nice all the time. And I sat back and I thought about that, you know, that they said they get away with it. But, you know, it really is a peaceful place. And as much as America says, you know, we are the greatest, we are the best, I think we can learn a lot from our neighbors to the north who seem to coexist very well together. I mean, would you?
I think that everybody started to understand that it's you know, it's not worth your time and effort to not be nice. You're going to be a better culture. You're going to be a better person for just trying to get along with everybody. Just trying to be polite and cordial to people. I think, you know, a lot of times people don't stay back and think about those things. You know, we're in a rush world, and everybody seems to you know, be in a hurry to go nowhere. So I think, you know, a little common courtesy, a little respect for each other can go a long way.
Absolutely. Here, speaking with Dale Shackelford on this conversation, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum, live from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, for the first time ever. I'm looking out a window at a very beautiful sun that is outside that rose just a little while ago, and the needle, as some people call it, the CN Tower, right to my back here. So very close to a monument that I love in general in this world. So here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, I got a few minutes to talk with the man, Dale Shackelford, live on the line. So Dale, I want to start with you with this Syracuse game. Syracuse, you and I have agreed they couldn't afford to lose twice to Boston College. Boston College is a middle-of-the-road team at best right now. You know, they were a team that was 8-8, 8-7. I mean, this is a team that's still finding its footing, still, you know, trying to get going here. Whereas the Syracuse Orange are in a place where they defeated Miami, they defeated Pittsburgh, so they were starting to make a few statements. We agreed that they couldn't lose twice to Boston College. What did you think about this game? They had lost by 15 on the road to BC. They won this recent one over the weekend by 23. So what were your thoughts on the game?
Well, I think that, you know, they played well. And, you know, defensively, they were very good. And, you know, that's where they have to, you know, be sharp at all the time. You know, without their defense, you know, there's basically no offense. Because, you know, our offense is, you know, we're stagnant. If we're not shooting well, we're going to struggle. But, you know, we can hold the opponents low on the defensive end. You know, they're better off that way. And I think the guys are hopefully are starting to buy into it because, you know, they got a tough road trip tonight and they have to be ready to, you know, play defense for a whole 40 minutes.
Absolutely. And when we look at this team and where it stands right now, we've given kind of a where's the team at from week to week. You and I have sat down and discussed who is where, what are they doing, how are they doing. Tyus Battle has stepped up at times early on in the season where the games were supposed to be won handily, and they were. But as of late, Tyus Battle has been showing that he can hit the three, he can make the big-time shot, he can take control of a game at times, not consistently all the way through, but he's making strides to show that he can be that shooter, he can be that player, you can lean on him. The consistency is what needs to come from here. 21 points in 33 minutes for the Orange against BC, 7 for 13 from the field. What did you take away from Tyus Battle, and what have you taken away from him recently as far as what he's been able to do on the court in these games that were a little bit bigger?
Well, hopefully it's a situation where he's understanding you know, the college game a little bit more, and he's capable of saying, like, listen, we need a leader out here. Maybe I can be the leader by example, even though I'm not a verbal leader. You know, setting an example for the other players and basically for himself to work hard and to try to, you know, help Syracuse win games. And I think, you know, they need a player like that. Hopefully that the other players will follow his lead.
And when you look at some of the other, you know, we talk about leadership. Can Tyus Battle, before we get into the other players, can Tyus be a leader to you? Are you seeing any of that right now? Are you seeing him step away from the pack at all?
Well, it's a situation where, I mean, it's early in the season yet. You know, we'll see in another 4 or 5 games. You know, tonight, like I said, it's going to be a good test for him. You know, can he rally the troops to, you know, play 145 minutes or 40 minutes? Not saying they're going to win the game, but at least, you know, have a good showing and at least be in the game down the stretch.
When they have a game like they have coming up here, Dale, and this is a game that obviously, you know, you and I will be covering as any other. They're playing at North Carolina. North Carolina is ranked in the top 12 of the nation right now. This would be a huge statement victory. Syracuse has boded well against North Carolina in the recent past. They've done some good things, not this past year in the Final Four, but it's not that North Carolina has gotten their number every single time. Most recently they have, so there is a chip on the shoulder. There is that feeling of wanting to overcome that last loss. But, you know, this is a little bit of a different North Carolina team, different faces. Now, no Marcus Page, obviously, and, you know, no Bryce Johnson. But what can you say about this type of game? Because this is a game where in any other season people would be heightened up for the Monday night game and say, okay, this is going to be a big one between two big teams. This time around, it's leaning heavily on the side of North Carolina in the view of many. So what are your thoughts on that, on Syracuse going in as a bigger underdog as they typically do?
Well, I mean, that's going to be motivation for them to, you know, to play harder and to prove all their critics wrong. North Carolina's got a very good team, regardless of the players they lost last year. They still have great players there this year. And, Syracuse has got to understand that every road game is very crucial. Every road game is going to be a hostile environment. And that's where you have to be on your A game and, at least work hard and have a good showing.
Absolutely. And Dale, before I let you go really quick here on the line, any notes that you want to make about Syracuse after this BC game that stuck out to you? Anything specifically that you've kind of made a note of as they go forward into their next game?
Well, I think that they're better communicating with each other in the zone defense, which they need. They've been distributing the ball pretty well the last game. That's the point of being able to carry that over for the rest of the season. And I think that the players are talking to each other a little bit more after practice, outside of practice, outside of games. And I think they're buying into each other's ability and understanding each other's ability to where they're going to help each other with.
That coming from Dale Shackelford. Dale, very busy on the road working through today and decided to jump on the air with me and spend some time. So, Dale, I appreciate it very, very much. I thank you so much, as always, for your time. I know that you had a tight schedule today, so it means the world to me that you made it work, and I appreciate it very much.
No problem, Dan. Thank you very much.
All right, take care.
All right, bye now.
Bye. That coming once again from Dale Shackelford of Syracuse Orange Men's Basketball History. Joining me on the show today to talk about Syracuse basketball just a little bit. We're going to get into some more things with Syracuse basketball, obviously, throughout today's show. We are in Canada, so it's only right for me to share a little bit of this. That is the Canadian national anthem, folks, because for the first time ever, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora is live from international ground. I wanted to say international waters, but it's not. We're on land. So we are live. There's a lot of water around us, but we are live right here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing. I have the, what some refer to as the needle, and it's called the CN Tower. It lights up Toronto Raptors purple and red at night. And it's so beautiful. I mean, it really is so beautiful and so nice, so peaceful. If you've never been up to Canada, you need to bring yourself up to Canada. It is a beautiful, beautiful place. Leo Routens, who obviously played for Syracuse and has been on the show numerous times, he is somebody who has created such an amazing connection working with the Toronto Raptors, being a former Syracuse player and going back and forth. And I feel very honored to cover the Toronto Raptors and, you know, to be able to discuss what's gone on with them over the years. I've seeped it into the show here and there. There's going to be a lot more coming up. I'm very proud of the Toronto Raptors team for how hard they're fighting I like the fact that there is a team in Canada in the NBA because, I mean, you think about it. The NHL, the NBA, and the MLB, the MLS all have teams from Canada, and they're all from Toronto. In each of those four, what is the common denominator? It's Toronto. You know, Toronto was the Raptors back from 95, 96 all the way through. They were the Huskies before that. They played, and if some people don't know the history, the first ever basketball game played in the NBA was between the Toronto Huskies and the New York Knickerbockers. So Toronto was a part of history in the first ever National Basketball Association game ever played. So it's important to go back and realize that. So the Toronto Raptors obviously have made a lot of history, and so has the city. The common denominator of the MLS, the MLB, the NHL, and the NBA is that all of them have franchises in Canada. The Toronto Raptors, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Toronto Blue Jays, and Toronto FC. So a huge congratulations to this city for showing that they can hang with America. They can be a part of American culture and connection, and that they can spread their culture as well into America. So, you know, I mean, it really is. I call it New York City without the smell. You know, I mean, it's very busy, and it's very beautiful, and it's very wonderful, and it's definitely something that stands on its own. And it doesn't smell like, you know, garbage on fire like the subway does. So, you know, I call it New York City nice, or New York City light, or New York City clean, and, you know, New York City without the smell. So no offense to New York City. I love going down and I love visiting, but this is a very different experience. And if you haven't been up to Toronto, you should definitely come up here. On today's show in the morning menu, proudly presented by the Market Diner on 2100 Park Street in Syracuse, New York, in the regional market across from Destiny USA. I'm very happy to be bringing you on today's show. You just heard from Dale Shackelford live, who jumped on the line, wasn't scheduled to be on, and called me up and said, Dan, if you want me to come on the show, I'm good to come on for a few minutes. And to be where I'm at in my life today, 13 years in broadcasting the show, and, you know, to have former sports players, you know, former Syracuse player call me up and say, Dan, I'd love to be on your show today. I can make it work. I could spend a few minutes with you. You know, it's when you get the phone call instead of making the phone call, where you really feel like your life is, you know, I know my life is special and I know my life is great, but it's moments like that that make you stop, get on your knees, and thank the good Lord for what you got. So today in the morning menu, proudly presented by the Market Diner, plenty of conversation coming up. I want to thank Dale Shackelford for coming on live. We'll also be discussing the Toronto Raptors. I went to the game yesterday with my wife. I got to sit my butt in the stands, which I never do anymore. And it is a humbling and a beautiful and a fun experience. And, you know, I never get to sit with my wife because, you know, when you're credentialed at the game, it's you. And then if my wife comes to the game, she's coming with family or friends, you know, and we talk and she comes down and sees me. But, you know, outside of that, we're not with the whole game together. So this time we went for fun to a game to see the Raptors take on the Knicks. And I'm going to be getting into that from the fans' perspective, what I see, what you see, and to experience what you see every day. It's important to do that to stay humble. It's important to do that. Not that I would never be humble because I've been that my whole life, but it's just important to see it through the eyes of the fan. Because the overwhelming majority of the people are not the people on the court, not the people on the field, not the people in press row. It's the fans. You guys make the game what it is. So the respectful, kind, good-hearted fans who are very vibrant and vivacious and wanting the most out of the game but are still respectful of the people around them and the people on the court and the people on the field, those are the fans that I love and those are the fans I respect. So I'll give you my experience of Toronto and New York here in Air Canada Center. We'll get into the NFL in four games, two of them that were interesting, two of them that were kind of figured out pretty quickly, and obviously one quarterback who has done everything in his power to etch his name in the history as one of the greatest fourth quarter quarterbacks, one of the greatest comeback quarterbacks, one of the greatest ice water in the veins quarterbacks of all time. So we'll get into that, and we'll have tissues here for all Cowboy fans across this great land. And we'll get into a little bit more of Syracuse basketball, my thoughts on the team to wrap things up on today's show. We'll take a fast break. so you could hear from some of the great partners that I work with. I am now proud to say that we work with, I think at this point it is 16 or 17. It could be 17 very quickly here. Great companies that Dan Totora Broadcast Media has partnered with in Central New York. You're going to hear from a few of them right now. It is a blessing and a privilege to share these with you in this fast break. And then when I come back, we're getting straight into being on the streets of Toronto and that Toronto Raptors game up against Carmelo Anthony, a former Syracuse player.
This is a wake-up call fast break.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Clothing that will change with you without you having to change. DreissigLady.com, DreissIg Lady.com, with the Bamboo Line Relaxed Fit Clothing as well as the Athletic Fit Clothing. DreissigLady.com is fit for any woman, any time of the day, anywhere. Whatever you're doing, whatever your day commands of you, command yourself to feel comfortable in Dreissig Lady Apparel. DreissIg Lady.com. For all the women out there, feel good in what you're wearing. And don't feel like you have to constantly change throughout the day. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, a business owner, going for a jog, going for a meeting, or just relaxing at home, DreissigLady.com is the right fit for you. DreissIg Lady.com.
The Penn and Trophy Center on 111 East Willow Street in Syracuse, New York, has been making memories for Central New York for over 60 years. It has the trophies for your teams, and when you walk in there, it's so much more than just that. When you walk into the Penn and Trophy Center, you are immersed in the reality that anything can be customized, anything can be engraved, whether it's for your anniversary, your wedding, your bar mitzvah, your birthday party, whatever you want to do with that memory, that watch from grandpa, or that bracelet from mom, or that wedding ring that's been passed down through your family. If you want to get something engraved with a memory to last a lifetime, the Penn and Trophy Center, 111 East Willow Street in Syracuse, New York, where memories are made and where memories last a lifetime.
The Market Diner prides itself on bringing the local community fresh ingredients that are better than going elsewhere. Open for breakfast, served all day, lunch and dinner with daily specials. The Market Diner is located at the Regional Market on Park Street, right across from Destiny USA. For takeout, call 315-474-5247. The Market Diner. Local. Fresh. Better.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. Happy to have you here on the show with me. For the first time ever, I could proudly say this. Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora is live in international territory, live on international ground, making history, creating history right here, right now, today. Wake Up Call with Dan Totora, its first ever international show. I am proud beyond belief to have filmed live videos, to air videos, and do live shows on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT from St. Louis, Missouri, from Charlotte, North Carolina, from Greensboro, North Carolina, from Houston, Texas, from Chicago, Illinois, from Orlando, Florida, from Jacksonville, Florida, from St. Augustine, Florida, from Syracuse, New York, of course, from Washington, D.C., from New York City, New York, and now from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. It is an honor, it is a blessing, it is a privilege, it is a beauty to be able to come on the air with you, speak live on the airwaves, and reach the people of Canada as well as America. And listeners that I've had, viewers that I've had, supporters that I've had over the years, but to be able to bring this show to them today means the absolute world to me, to include Canadians, to appreciate and thank them for their kindness, for their hospitality, for their ever-living positivity and just sweet nature and the beauty that is Toronto. So thank you to Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having my wife. And I appreciate it so much. Just 4 hours away from Syracuse, New York. Not that hard of a trek to come up here, for a lot of fans that listen into my show in Central New York. So thank you to Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And thank you to everybody listening in right now that is helping me make history. This show has meant the absolute world to me. And it has been it's gone through different chapters, different pieces over history. And for this show to be 13 years plus old, and for me to be broadcasting that long, I thank you so, so much that my work has not gone unnoticed, not gone quietly into the night, and is ever growing, ever changing. And I always ask myself every year, as I work to grow every year, I said, what can I do in 2017 that I didn't do in 2016? And there's a lot of different things. But to be 16 days into 2017 and already have a show in a city I've never been in, to create history in having my first ever internationally broadcasted show, that's a great way to start off the first 2 weeks of 2017. And it shows that we waste no time here on Wake Up Call. So thank you so much for tuning into the show. Thank you to my Canadians. Thank you to my Americans. Thank you to people all over the country. Thank you to people all over the world. And thank you to my Central New Yorkers who see me and feel me every single day. Feel my energy. Feel my positivity. Feel what I do. Feel how I do it. Meet me in the community. Shake my hand. Spend some time talking with me. Thank you for that. And thank you to business owners. And thank you to general managers like Mike over at Macho. It's a Mexican place that my wife and I had the opportunity to go to yesterday. We watched the NFL games from there because we had just come out of the Toronto Raptors game. So we watched Green Bay and Dallas. We watched some of the Pittsburgh-Kansas City game there at the bar. Had some phenomenal nachos with some chicken and whatnot. I definitely suggest if you're coming up to Toronto, right by 75 Queens Wharf, right by that building, that area, there's a Tim Hortons, and Macho is right there, Macho Radio Bar. Come check it out. It is a phenomenal place to go to. So we got to hang out there, got to meet a local general manager and somebody who's in the heart of Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and it was so cool, and it was so much fun. So make sure that you definitely come out and support Toronto. If you haven't been up here, you're missing out. If you have been up here, you know what I'm talking about. So I got to do a lot of great things, and we're going to discuss that here in the morning menu before we get into some of the sports topics to let you know what it's like to be on the streets of Toronto. You know, first and foremost, we came down here this weekend and we celebrated, my wife and I, our 5-year anniversary of the day I asked her to be my girlfriend, January 15th, 2012. So everything kind of timed perfectly with that. And we got to go to my favorite rapper, Drake. He has a restaurant, Frings, that is here in Canada. And the restaurant, great restaurant, absolutely amazing food. And my wife wanted to take me there as part of my gift and for Christmas. And she brought me to Frings, which Drake is connected to. And, you know, all of you know who Drake is and what he's done and all of that. So, I mean, obviously, he's not somebody that goes unnoticed by any stretch of the imagination. And to be able to go to his restaurant was absolutely and positively amazing. And the food was great. We had crab cakes that were in these fried. It was a fried ball with crab cakes and then balsamic. Absolutely great. We had this, like, doughy chicken taco. The dough, I don't know what it is, but it was absolutely my favorite. And then we had, this was really good too, we had braised beef and lobster, like real hardcore lobster and braised beef poutine in this big old bowl. We shared everything. And then because it's our anniversary, they brought us out some chocolate ice cream, some different things in it, and they had written in chocolate syrup, happy anniversary, on the Frings plate. So it was a great experience. So, I mean, to me, it's just, it was amazing. I mean, how many times can you say, you know, on your five-year anniversary or on any anniversary or just because you're in Toronto, you go to your favorite rapper's restaurant, you go to see a team you've respected since they came into the NBA in 95 with the Toronto Raptors, you get to meet a bunch of nice people that are in Toronto as business owners and working within these businesses, and, you know, you just get to experience the life. So it was really, really an amazing time.
You used to call me on my. You used to. Yeah. You used to call me on my cell phone.
And that's another thing about this, and it's ironic why I chose that song and saying that I went to Drake's restaurant, to Frings. If you haven't been there, you need to go. It's a great place. Great atmosphere. It looks like where you would film a music video. If Drake was doing a music video, he literally can just get different angles and film 10 music videos in there before people start to realize, oh, okay, that's Frings. So, you know, it was really great. You had to dress up. So the wife and I were looking nice and enjoying the opportunity to be at this restaurant. And I've gotten to go to some really nice restaurants. You know, in South Carolina, we got to go to Husk, which at the time was a number one new restaurant in the country. So in Charleston, South Carolina. So I've gotten to do things like that, you know, and you go to the restaurants that people know, you know, you go to Disney, you go to Ohana at the Polynesian Village, and those, I mean, there's really, really nice places, great places that we've had an opportunity to go to. But to go to Frings and to have that connection to the city of Toronto and to Drake, and someone who was born in October, like myself, and has followed the Raptors for a long time, like myself, you know, it truly makes me feel like a little kid. But this whole part of you used to call me on my cell phone, what you learn in Toronto really quick as an American is you don't want really anybody calling you on your cell phone because the rates are too high. So the commercial or the music video for Drake should essentially be, you used to call me on my cell phone. Now the rates are too high, so please don't call me on my cell phone because my bill will make me cry. I mean, I think that that's fair. It's Dr. Seussing it. I made it rhyme. I ad-libbed that. I did that in this moment. It wasn't written down and prepared for me. But, you know, it's kind of like something I would say to my mom. Hey, Mom, you used to call me on my cell phone, but wait till I get back to Syracuse because it costs $14.99 for me to talk to you for 3 minutes. So if you're ever coming up to Toronto, please know that. Call Verizon, call T-Mobile, call the people that you work with and ask them if you can get a Canadian plan. Ask them how it works. Ask them what roaming and what things you have to shut off on your phone, because if you don't, you will go home and wish that no one called you on their cell phone. So here in Toronto, as I discussed, you know, obviously enjoyed the time in going out to these restaurants that we've been able to go to, going by the Rogers Centre, going by the CN Tower. We came down here, my wife and I, to see the Toronto Blue Jays game when they played against the Arizona Diamondbacks not too long ago this past summer. And now being back here to see a Toronto Raptors game was absolutely an amazing experience. So, you know, driving up from Central New York on the way to Toronto, that's not so bad. You know, I don't feel like we hit a lot of traffic. There was nobody at Customs. You know, it was a very, very quiet day at Customs, which is fun. And I don't know if you're like me, but when you go through Customs, it's game face, right? You put the game face on, right? You got the passports ready. You got them in hand. You're like, okay, they're going to ask me why I'm here. I'm here to see the Toronto Raptors against the New York Knicks. Celebrating my anniversary with my wife. Where am I staying? Let them know where you're staying. How long are you staying? Let them know when we're popping out of here. All that stuff. Get it going. Get it right. And be straight with it by the time you get there. One of the things that confuses me about Toronto, though, is the whole notion of the duty-free. Because I, you know, really, I don't drink that much. So I'm not very educated on what you know, duty free is all about, but it's cheaper liquor, cheaper, you know, booze. But I was like, can you bring it over the border? And my wife said, you have to claim it, which means you have to go in there and you have to write, you know, you have to go through all this paperwork and sign different things and do different things, and it's not worth it and whatnot. So duty free has always been something that eluded me, because in Puerto Rico, or as they say it in Puerto Rico, Puerto Rico. So, and every time I say Puerto Rico, I feel like I'm saying it wrong because it's Puerto Rico. So when you're down there, duty free, you know, I feel like my mom, as she's described it, it's a lot easier. But, you know, up here in Canada, people come up here to, you know, buy some alcohol, bring it home at a cheaper price. Listen, people in my friend Val in Sarnia, in up in Canada, which sounds a lot like Narnia, so I know that's the first thing you thought of. Sarnia is right above Detroit. And she said that she comes over the border all the time to get gas because, believe it or not, American gas in Detroit is cheaper than in Canada. I'm going to let some Americans wrap their head around that right now. Gas is cheaper in Detroit than it is in Canada, just so you know. So, you know, some people coming over the border and enjoying it that way. You know, driving up and going to the border, it really is an amazing thing. When you're crossing the bridge and you see that there's this gap in land, and there's this last part where it's like America can only like build this far or only affect, you know, this part of the mountain, and then it stops. It is breathtaking to see that moment where the United States ends and Canada begins, and vice versa. Because you see it on a map, but when you physically drive over it, that is an amazing thing. We talked about Frings. You know, walking through the city, Yonge Street, for those of you that have been to Toronto, you know what I'm talking about. Yonge Street is kind of like Times Square. Again, no smell. Again, homeless people that aren't few and far between and being nice. You know, my wife and I walked by at night. We walked by two homeless people sitting on the ground with no shoes. Now, granted, in Canada, it's like it was maybe 20 at night, if that, if not a little bit colder. So these people are sitting on the ground, homeless, eating food with their socks out in the middle of the sidewalk. And if that's New York City, this person is talking to 17 different personalities and threatening to kill you. In Canada, we walk by these people, and as we're about to go by them as they're eating their sandwich, they went, "Hello, have a nice night." And I was like, these homeless people are nicer than some people that I have met anywhere else in the world, anywhere in America. I mean, homeless people that said, "Hi, have a nice night." So shout out to the homeless people that are here in Canada, because you have better manners than many a people that I know, and you're homeless. So, you know, God bless them, and I hope that they find a home very, very soon. Some things never change. The egg and bacon burger is up here in Canada. I got to try that yesterday. Very good. Appreciated it. And, you know, overall, the experience was just a lot of fun. My wife and I shopping a lot. We know Toronto. We've been to Toronto 3 times together. And at this point, we know Toronto. And, to you know, comfortably. Not everything, but we know it comfortably to know, okay, this is, you know, now this is where we park. This is where we go to eat. This is how we get to this street. This is what's on this street. If we want to go and look at the merchandise and the apparel, they have Marshalls and they have Winners. And we don't have Winners in Central New York, but it's connected to Marshall. And so they have that. We know where the Eaton Center is, which is an indoor shopping center. We know some of the restaurants that we like. We now know where Frings is. So we know different places to go. Shout out to Wahlburgers that's up here. So, and the Wahlberg family. The Rogers Center, the CN Tower, the Ripley's Aquarium, the Air Canada Center, all of that, where the practice court is for the Toronto Raptors. And then every single time we come in, we learn something else. So, you know, it's the beauty of being in a city that you feel like you've really come to know and come to appreciate. So, you know, it's, you know, to give you a little virtual tour speaking here on the show, you know, it really is worth it. It's worth your drive. It's worth your time. And it's a lot of fun. It really is a totally different experience. And it's an amazing experience. I think it's one that everybody should have. And I think it's the time that you should really take to appreciate something like this. So we'll take a quick step aside here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora for a Wake Up Call fast break. When I spin back around here on the show, we're going to discuss what life was like for me in the stands of a Toronto Raptors basketball game, what my thoughts were of the Raptors going up against former Syracuse player Carmelo Anthony, what the game looked like, what it felt like from in the stands, and what the Air Canada Center is all about. The irony of having being inside of a center that's called the ACC and covering the ACC, which is the Atlantic Coast Conference, for the last, I think, at least 4 years here on Wake Up Call. So the irony of covering the ACC, going out of the country, and being inside of the ACC. So we'll discuss the Toronto Raptors and the New York Knicks and so much more after this fast break. We are live from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and this is Wake Up Call, first time on international ground.
This is a Wake-Up Call Fast Break.
Larger Than Life Toys and Comics is a 6,000-square-foot haven of comics and collectibles located inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. They offer new as well as vintage comics, collectibles, video games, and more. Larger Than Life Toys and Comics will also buy from you. So bring in your used or vintage comics and toys today to their store inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. Call 315-622-1891 to learn more about their trade-in policy, store credit, and even layaway. That's 315-622-1891. And make sure to like their Facebook page, Larger Than Life Comics, for constant updates, store hours, and more.
This is Dr. Tim Whiting of Sterp Chiropractic and Wellness Center. Here at Sterp Chiropractic, we strive to provide our patients with the highest quality of care in a comforting and welcoming atmosphere. We are not simply pain doctors. We spend time looking at the whole body and address each patient's needs and goals. This usually includes chiropractic adjustments, muscle work, and tips on nutrition and supplementation that fits each patient's needs. We want to develop a plan that promotes overall health and wellness and focuses on future injury prevention. Our office is located at 1628 West Genesee Street in Syracuse. Please give us a call at 315-472-7128 with any of your chiropractic or wellness needs.
Utica Pizza Company spells family. Your family, my family, their family. The recipes that they have shared with each other throughout the years and have now been so gracious to share them with us. I can sit here and talk with you about all the great things that are on the menu. We'd be here forever. So let me say this. Utica Pizza Company is second to none. And now you can bring it home with you and you can dine in the restaurant. UticaPizzaCompany.com will give you all the information that you need. And let me say, these Utica greens, they're the best. Utica Pizza Company. Call them and place your order at 315-214-3060. That's 315-214-3060. Families break bread at Utica Pizza Company.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. Live here on January 16th, Martin Luther King Day. Here in Canada for the first ever Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, internationally broadcasted live show. Happy to be here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. We've talked about the experience of being up and down these streets and different things that my wife and I got to see, getting to know this city, getting to know this place, and getting to be around what I consider to be a great culture, a great environment, and some really awesome people. So shout out to everybody in Canada that we got to meet and be around. And shout out to people that like almost bang into you but apologize to you. So shout out to manners and all of that. So a lot we can learn. You know, I'm so proud and so happy to be an American. But if you are an American and you don't take the time to appreciate the neighbors to the north, you know, I think it's a true disservice because they, you know, you talk about peace among borders and all this, and there's all this talk about Mexico and building a wall in Europe, and they're all different countries, and people fight with each other, and they invade each other, and how big Russia is, and how tiny, you know, Poland is or Ukraine is compared to Russia, and whatnot, and everything going on in Turkey. You know, we really take for granted how peaceful, how kind, how wonderful, and how supportive Canada has been. You know, and even when we were at a restaurant yesterday, that the server that was there said to us, you know, we believe that your president is our president. They said, as much as we have someone here and we have government here and we have everything here, they said, when the United States elects a new president, we feel like that is our president too, and we feel very connected to you. So I found that to be very interesting to hear somebody say that from Canada, and you know, to hear them appreciate so much that Americans appreciate their culture, and that they appreciate, you know, it sounded like they had people come up from other countries that just kind of came into Canada and talked about how great they are, where we came in and talked about how great Canada is and thanked Canada. And, you know, to get the response from them of, oh my gosh, you're American, you're from New York, and you love us and you love what we're about, you know, means so much to us. We're going to take that home and we're going to appreciate it. You know, we're very great words to hear. So don't underestimate the importance of Canada and appreciating just how beautiful and how good we have it among borders, that, you know, we have a place that we don't have to be concerned with, and we have a place that, that obviously has been very supportive of America for such a long time. So I want to thank Canada, and I want to thank everybody we got to meet here. And continuing on in the conversation here from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, on this morning menu, proudly presented by The Market Diner, on 2100 Park Street in Syracuse, New York, in the regional market across from Destiny USA. I proudly want to discuss with you the Toronto Raptors game. They faced off against the New York Knicks, and former Syracuse forward Carmelo Anthony. And Carmelo played in 26 minutes in the game, scored 18 points, did not play the majority of the fourth quarter, went 7 for 14 from the field, 3 for 5 from 3, and, you know, just he was feeling it early and then went relatively quiet after that. The Toronto Raptors in this game were up at one point by 36. They outscored the Knicks 27-8 in the third quarter, but the Knicks outscored them 39-20 in the fourth quarter to make this look like a game. But there's a reason why you watch the game in its entirety as opposed to just looking at the stats. You look at the stats, this looks like this is a game. You look at the stats and you say, well, Toronto's supposed to be such a good team. They're second in the entire Eastern Conference. So how in the heck did they let a team that's well under 500 beat them by a mere 15? Well, the answer is simple. The starters were out in the fourth quarter. They were up by 36, and they were just pouring it on in the third quarter. I mean, we're talking about Kyle Lowry down the court, and then DeMar Carroll down the court, and then Jonas Valanciunas finishing at the rim, and DeMar DeRozan getting out. I mean, this team, and they let the entire bench come out. People were cheering for Bruno at the end of the game. He played a few seconds just so they could dribble the ball out here. So only one player didn't play because of a sore knee, and that's Patterson. Everybody else on the bench, they wanted to clear the bench in Toronto, just like fans cheer at the Carrier Dome, which I found very ironic because the Carrier Dome had walk-ons come out there against Boston College. And for Toronto, essentially, they let everybody come out. Jakob came out, Van Vliet came out, Bruno came out, everybody was out there. Norman Powell had a great game, 21 points in 24 minutes. He was phenomenal. Terrence Ross, 4 for 6 from 3, 12 points in the game. You know, DeMar DeRozan being DeMar DeRozan, 23 points in 28 minutes. Lowry, 16 points, went 6 for 10 from the field. Nogueira had 4 points in 35 minutes, but had some big-time rebounds, had 3 steals in the game, and did a lot of things cleaning up around the rim. And then my dude, Jonas Valanciunas, this was absolutely awesome. Every single player has their own song, and it's a clip of a song. So just like for baseball, when somebody comes up to bat, you hear music that's unique to them that they chose. Well, Jonas Valanciunas, whenever he makes a shot, this is what you hear.
Okay!
every single time, which I think is amazing because when I think of Jonas Valanciunas, I'm like, I don't think of Little John, yet every single time he makes a shot, this is what you heard in the Air Canada Center.
Okay!
So shout out to Little John because you found your way all the way up to big old Canada. So props to Little John and props to Jonas Valanciunas for having good taste. So covering here the Toronto Raptors, you know, great game by the Raptors. They had this one handily. It was close. At one point, Toronto outscored the Knicks 27-26 in the first quarter. There was a time where Carmelo gave the Knicks the lead, but then the Raptors outscored the Knicks 42-28, went into the half in really good shape, got to 70 points really quickly, and then, you know, the third quarter, like I said, outscoring them by 19, and then getting outscored by 19 by the Knicks in the fourth quarter. But that's when you had, you know, Siakam out there, when you had Jakob out there, Van Vliet out there, you had Joseph out there. So, I mean, really, Norman Powell and Terrence Ross were the guys that were getting time off the bench, but everybody else that was out there at the end of the game was out there to, you know, get to sit the starters, to give them a break, to prevent them from injury, to let them relax for the next game that they have because it's a quick turnaround in the NBA. So there's a lot of positives from that. The reserves get experience, but, you know, if I'm the head coach of the Toronto Raptors, then I'm sitting down with my reserve saying, we were up by 36, you won this game by 15, be better. Be better on defense, be better on offense. And, you know, this is valuable experience. And shout out to, you know, the Toronto Raptors and shout out to their head coach for knowing and having the wherewithal and the intelligence, Mr. Dwayne Casey, of knowing that your reserves need the experience, need to be out there, because if they are not, then when you finally call upon them in a game where you need them and you have no choice, you can't trust in them. And now they obviously can. So Toronto Raptors game was great. Seeing it from the fans' perspective was really amazing. It was a lot of fun to be out there, see people dancing, see the cam that's going around, to watch people on it, and just see the overall excitement of the fans. I will say this, though. There was at least one American in the stands. And I say that because in Canada, there's a certain etiquette and a certain way that people act. But there was one lady who must have been a Knicks fan. And I say that with love because this is the American way. They showed a guy and a girl and they were standing. And so they noticed that they were on the big screen. So they started dancing and the girl had a half shirt on. And they're watching and watching and watching. And then all of a sudden, she starts to pick up her shirt and you see her bra fully and you're anticipating that this woman is going to flash the screen. And I looked at my wife and I said, that was very American of her. Not very Torontonian, but very American of this lady. So we got to see one American in the stands, shout out. There were some Knicks fans that were at the game. And, you know, overall, you know, for people that tell you that Toronto doesn't have fans show up, they're lying to you. For the NBA that doesn't adequately cover the Raptors until they have to when the Raptors make the playoffs, they should be ashamed of themselves. Because this is a team that I feel like, I mean, you think about it. New York City is 4 hours away from Syracuse. Toronto is 4 hours away from Syracuse. The Nets aren't that great. The Knicks aren't that good. The Toronto Raptors are the second best team in the country in the Eastern Conference that were knocking on the door of going to the NBA Finals when they faced LeBron and the Cavs. And LeBron and the Cavs had swept two series, and Toronto was the first team to beat them this past postseason when they beat them twice. Despite losing, they were the first team to show that LeBron and the Cavs could bleed in the playoffs of this past year. So when you go to count out Toronto, remember, they're just as close as the other two teams in New York, and they're the better team to watch right now, talent-wise, and what they're doing with their season. Second best team. They've started off faster and better than they did last year, which is a hopeful sign of Toronto fans to make it back to the Eastern Conference Finals and potentially win or push Cleveland to a brink that was a lot better than what they did last year, although they did make strides last year that nobody else did. So, you know, this Toronto Raptors team is all about it. The fans are all about it. 3 o'clock on a Sunday, and the whole place was packed. 3 o'clock on a Sunday. You think it's not a night game. It's not a primetime game. So maybe it'll be less busy. The NFL playoffs are on, and there's a lot of fans here. Saw Pittsburgh Steelers fans walking down the street. Saw Dallas Cowboys fans driving around the city. So, you know, you think about all of these factors and go, okay, it'll probably be a more tame game. You would have thought that this game was 9 o'clock on a Saturday playoffs. You would have thought that this was a marquee, you know, Friday night basketball. And that's how these fans showed up. So if you ever get an opportunity, make your way up to Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and come see the Raptors, especially now. And, you know, their tickets have gone up. They've gotten better. And there really is no bad seat in the house. It reminded me of Madison Square Garden at times. And it also reminded me of the Amway Center in Orlando, two of which I've been in. And it really, in and of itself, is a beautiful, beautiful place. It's a wonderful experience. And, you know, I gotta give a shout-out to the fans. Because sitting in the crowd, and I mean this, there really isn't a bad seat in the Air Canada Center. It was a great, great experience. I'm going to be loading up a bunch of pictures onto social media. So check out facebook.com/wakeupcalldt, Twitter at calldt, and on Instagram, I changed my name. It's at Dan Tortora Media. So it's at my name media, at Dan Tortora Media. So very simple and easy to do, and it connects more with all of my other names that have, you know, obviously Dan Tortora or DT in them. We'll take another fast break here on the show very quickly, and we'll come back here with a tribute to Martin Luther King, as well as my thoughts on the NFL and wrapping up Syracuse here as Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora has proudly made history live from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, right here with you.
This is a Wake Up Call Fast Break.
Gear up with the real deal at Dreisig Apparel, creating what people are going to see and learn about you before they even meet you. Gear up for what you need for your team, business, or event. To look professional, look good, and feel good, outfit yourself at DreisigApparel.com. That's DreisiG Apparel.com. The only place to gear up with the real deal.
Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, your premier sports pub in downtown Syracuse, Central New York. This is your home for all Syracuse sports home and away games, as well as the NBA, the NHL, the MLB, and so much more, NCAA everything. Go to Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, the hub of every Central New York sports fan. That's where you go. Saltine Warrior Sports Pub. Great food, great drinks at a great price and a great atmosphere. Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, 214 West Water Street, etched in the history of Syracuse. Right in the heart of Syracuse.
What's the universal language of a fan? Clapping your hands. With Fan Hands, the ultimate sports fan accessory, find your team color, slip them on, and start cheering on your favorite team with 11 different colors always in stock on fanhands.com, where you'll find the ultimate sports fan accessory. Real fans wear fan hands.
The Penn and Trophy Center on 111 East Willow Street in Syracuse, New York, has been making memories for Central New York for over 60 years. It has the trophies for your teams, and when you walk in there, it's so much more than just that. When you walk into the Penn and Trophy Center, you are immersed in the reality that anything can be customized, anything can be engraved, whether it's for your anniversary, your wedding, your bar mitzvah, your birthday party, whatever you want to do with that memory, that watch from grandpa, or that bracelet from mom, or that wedding ring that's been passed down through your family. If you want to get something engraved with a memory to last a lifetime, the Penn and Trophy Center, 111 East Willow Street in Syracuse, New York, where memories are made and where memories last a lifetime. For all of us that have always wanted our favorite restaurant to come to us, it's now a reality in Central New York with It's a Utica Thing. With Utica Pizza Company bringing their wonderful recipes that they've handed down through generations to you, to your event, to your business, to your home. It's a Utica Thing, proudly bringing Utica Pizza Company on wheels to your location. Call 315-738-8946. That's 315-738-8946 to bring Utica Pizza Company to your doorstep with It's a Utica Thing.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. Happy to have you here on the show as always. No big deal, just making a little bit of history here on today's show. Going live on international grounds here at Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Very happy to be here with you in Toronto. After seeing the Toronto Raptors take on the New York Knicks and celebrate my anniversary with my wife 5 years from the day that I asked her to be my girlfriend, which was January 15th, 2012, and to be broadcasting my show internationally for the first time ever from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, a city that is near and dear to my heart. Killing it. Whoever sang that song, lady, is killing it with the pipes. So appreciate you being here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora making history with me today. We've discussed the Toronto Raptors. Dale Shackelford came on the show live here in the morning menu, proudly presented by the Market Diner on 2100 Park Street in Syracuse, New York, in the regional market across from Destiny USA. And on today's show, we continue on here in the morning menu, proudly presented by the Market Diner, the home of the Dan Tortora special. If you'd like, which you should, and many have, so you'd be in the minority if you haven't yet, get yourself the Dan Tortora special, Belgian waffle cut in half, filled with a bacon, egg, and cheese omelet. It's like eating a sandwich that was blessed to you from the heavens. So if you don't get an opportunity, if you have not given yourself an opportunity, today's the day to treat yourself and go to the Market Diner and get yourself the Dan Tortora special. Belgian waffle cut in half, filled with a bacon, egg, and cheese omelet. It is absolutely amazing. Get it for yourself. Get it to share. Take half of it home with you. Take it back to the office with you when you're having a rough day and you go, oh, damn, I got leftovers from the Market Diner. This is pretty sweet. I do that all the time. Market Diner, Utica Pizza, any of the places that I promote here on the show, I physically go to them. I'm not one of those rent-a-broadcasters where I pretend that I like a place, but I really don't. So when I tell you to go somewhere, it's because I do, and I really love it, and I see how they treat people. I see their service. I see how their owners are. I see how hard they work. I see that they're blue-collar. I see that the owner is cooking on the line and washing the floors as well as managing the whole place. So, you know, when I open my door and I'm like, I have more of my Dan Tortora special, or I have my wings left from Woody's, or I have tacos from Ole Ole, or chicken riggies from Utica Pizza, you know, those are the moments that make you really happy. Or my favorite, because for some reason, above all things, this is okay with me and with most people. And it was always okay with my parents. They never told me I couldn't, as much as I can remember. That having cake in the morning is okay if it's Carvel ice cream cake. So that's one of those things where you say, you know, oh my God, it's my birthday a couple days ago. I still have Carvel ice cream cake in the fridge, and it's 8 a.m. So when you ask me how do I have all this energy to do the show 5 days a week, 9 to 11 a.m. on mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt, I will respond to you that I probably am eating Carvel ice cream cake at 8 a.m. and doing the show at 9. So when I tell you to go somewhere, I mean it because I care about it, and it means a lot to me. And I want to thank everybody that works with me because it truly is a privilege to work with them. And, you know, when I look at it, I don't say it's a privilege to work with me. I'm not that kind of person. I look at them and say, yeah, I am privileged to get on the air in the morning, do what I love, talk about the things I love, educate with people, laugh with people, go through things with people and build through adversity and become a better person. And to do it with these companies is truly one of the greatest honors bestowed upon my life by God that I didn't expect to have the way that I have it. And so, you know, I always say God overblessed me, but I look up at God after I say that and I say, please don't misunderstand me. I don't want to give any of it back. So, you know, I'm thankful for my life every single day, and I'm thankful to be here with you, and I'm thankful to be live internationally from Toronto, Ontario, Canada for today. The rest of the shows this week are back in Central New York, but today is in Canada, and it is an amazing privilege to be here in Toronto and be live with you. So let's jump into the next topic here in the morning menu before we scoot out of here. We're going to finish the show a little bit before 11 today out of respect for Martin Luther King Day, and you have all, you know, been so gracious with your time with me this morning, but I'm hoping that you enjoy your day And I'm hoping that you have the day off, because it really should be a holiday. As much as it is, it's not in some places, but there's reasons why it should be. And, well, I could tell you the reasons, but I think it's better for Martin Luther King to do that.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream.
An absolutely beautiful message. And prior to that, Dr. King said that it's not about black people against every white person, or that every white person is negative, or that every white person is racist, or that every white person is their enemy. And he said, because there are people, individuals, make decisions. You know, not a race. A race doesn't make a decision. Individuals make their decisions. And he made the comment of having people that are white support civil rights, support connection, support equality. And he said that that is shown by our white brethren that are standing in the crowd today. So let it be known, in a time where people don't feel equal, in a time where people ask why are things still skewed, why is there still stereotypes, why are people still treated negatively by their, because of their race, because of their sex, because of their sexual orientation, because of their ethnicity, their nationality, their background, how much money they make. I answer you with, I don't know why. I don't know why hate lives still, but I can tell you that hate does not prevail. I can tell you that hate does not live in my life. I can tell you that hate is not welcome in my house, but everyone is. Hate is not. I can tell you that justice is something that I fight for every day. I can tell you that taking care of the person next to me, no matter how mean or how rude or how conniving or sadistic or twisted they are, that I will always pray for their soul. I will always pray for their life, and I will always pray for them to find God, even if it's taken them forever to do so, or find whatever they consider God to be, so that they know that something is watching over them, somebody is above them, somebody loves them, somebody is taking care of them, someone is seeing them through everything. So, Dr. King, I thank you for everything that you said, and I thank you that you said it's not white versus black and black versus white. It's justice versus injustice. It's crooked versus straight. It's honesty versus lies. It is God-given right versus man taketh away. It's hate versus love. And in that theme, and in that desire, and in that want, and in that dream, and in that hope, and in that fortitude, and in that positivity, and in that success, and in that perseverance and determination, I want to honor Dr. King today, as I honor him every day in how I live my life. Black, white, blue, brown, purple, orange, I don't care. it is with great pleasure and great ability and great talent blessed upon me by God to get on here every single morning, every week, Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. on mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt and share my story with you, share my passion with you, share my love with you, share my want with you, share whatever I've learned over the years and been educated with you, hopefully some knowledge and wisdom to impart on you, and laughter with you, with the ultimate backing of wanting every single one of us to enjoy our lives to the absolute very fullest. There is no man, woman, or child that I do not love, that I do not pray for, and that I do not hope, makes the most out of their lives and their time that they have. It is crucial for me to not focus on the hate, to not focus on the negative, to not focus on the people that have chosen to turn their life in a bad direction, but to pray for those people to turn it in a better direction and spend my time with the people who are doing good things and surround myself with positivity, as you should in this movement to do what's great. Martin Luther King was surrounded by good people, or else he wouldn't be what he is. He wouldn't be what he has been throughout history. Jesus Christ was surrounded by good people, disciples and apostles. Even perfection needs that support. Even perfection needs to know that they're not the only ones out there. And I am thankful today and every day that there are people that had the courage and the might to stand up against fear and say no more. So may I never stand here with you, sit here with you, lay down on a couch in fear. I love you all, and I thank you all for your support and for being a part of the show, my call crew. And I thank Martin Luther King for being amazing. Very quickly, before we finish up the show here, in the morning menu inside of Wake Up Call, proudly presented by the Market Diner on 2100 Park Street in Syracuse, New York, in the regional market across from Destiny USA. Seattle Seahawks went on the road without their 12th man to visit Atlanta. And I chose Atlanta to win this game, and Atlanta took care of business 36-20. They went scoreless in the first quarter, then 19 in the second quarter, and then just flipped out from there. The Atlanta Falcons are a very, very difficult team to play, hence why I chose them. They defeated a very strong defense, and it's going to be a high-scoring 39-36 type of game when Atlanta faces off against Green Bay. Shout out to Matt Ryan, who went 3 touchdowns, no picks, completed 26 of 37 passes, so all but 11 of them. Devontae Freeman, who scored, Tevin Coleman, who got involved. Devontae Freeman, who is a leading receiver by yardage with 80. Taylor Gabriel, Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, that all got involved in the offense as well. This defense that quieted Russell Wilson, this defense that quieted Thomas Rawls coming off of over 120 yards rushing a game before. There's not much to say about this other than the fact that the Falcons' offense is one of those offenses that can outscore a really good defense. And when the Seahawks allow 36 points to you, your offense is that good. And Kyle Shanahan is that awesome of an offensive coordinator. Next game to talk about, and these are the two games I can buzz by because they, you know, I know people chose Seattle and people chose Atlanta, but we knew Atlanta's offense. I mean, if you paid attention to football, we knew Atlanta's offense going into this thing, and it was the home team, and they won. The other home team that won was the New England Patriots over the Houston Texans, 34-16. The Houston Texans had lost against the Patriots when the Patriots didn't have Tom Brady due to suspension and were playing their third-string quarterback, Jacoby Brissett, in the regular season. They lost 27-0. In this game, they lost 34-16, so a little bit more respectable. Brock Osweiler looked just like himself, maybe a little worse. 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions. He's either 1 touchdown, no interceptions, or 0 touchdowns, 1 interception. 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions. Again, as I said last week, if you throw 3 interceptions in a game, which ironically the Oakland Raiders did against the Houston Texans when Houston won, Connor Cook threw 3 interceptions against Houston's defense. Houston moved on. Houston threw 3 interceptions against New England's defense. New England moved on. So my theory of if you're going to throw 3 interceptions and give up the ball that many times, don't expect to win the game. very few teams can bounce back from something like that. The theory is 100% at this point. And Brock Osweiler, and, you know, no offense to him. Everybody's a hardworking quarterback, and everybody's busted their butt to get where they are. But when you pay millions and millions of dollars for a backup quarterback that played a few games, you don't know what you're going to be getting. And the Houston Texans got somebody that would be a backup elsewhere. Tom Brady, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Credit Houston with getting 2 picks in this game. Deion Lewis got a touchdown on the ground. LeGarrette Blount was involved as well. Julian Edelman, 137 yards, which he hasn't done in a while. Deion Lewis, James White both scored. Michael Floyd only had 1 catch, but he still got involved. Chris Hogan got involved in a big way. And the only player I told you to play if you had daily fantasy was DeAndre Hopkins, and he was the leading receiver for Houston. So neither one of these games was surprising. The game that made you stop and say, oh my Lord, is the last game we're going to talk about. The game between the Steelers and the Chiefs, this is a hard-fought, close game. And thank goodness for the 2 games on Sunday giving us more than Saturday did, because Saturday gave us 2 home teams that took care of business. Sunday gave us 2 road teams that took care of it. And, you know, even if you're not a Kansas City fan, I find myself as an impartial broadcaster seeing the score 18-16 and having nothing against Pittsburgh, but wanting Kansas City to get that field goal. Because just like Dallas, Kansas City doesn't get many opportunities to get to this place. They don't get opportunities to be the second seed, get a first round bye, and get home field. I mean, this Kansas City team, you have that hope and you have that want and you have that desire, even if you're not a fan of Kansas City, to see them move on, because they never move on. So this was a heartbreaking game. Spencer Ware scored. Tyreek Hall did what he does, running the ball and receiving. Travis Kelce had 77 yards. I mean, this team made a good effort, but you gave up 108 yards to Antonio Brown. You gave up 170 yards to Le'Veon Bell. How crazy is this? The Pittsburgh Steelers ran for 171 yards. 170 of 171 yards came from Le'Veon Bell. Ben Roethlisberger ran the ball 4 times for 1 yard. If it wasn't for him, you know, I mean, you look at what this team accomplishes with Le'Veon Bell. He's uncanny. 200 yards in a game, 170 yards. This is a Super Bowl prepared team. I know it was going to be very hard for Kansas City to win. I chose them to win, you know, being at home and believing that this team's defense is better than people give them credit for, which it is. Because even though they lost this game, the Pittsburgh Steelers are not an 18-point-a-game team. So it breaks your heart for Kansas City, but their scoreless second quarter really, you know, attributed to this. Pittsburgh didn't do much. You know, Pittsburgh in this game had no touchdowns offensively, no touchdowns defensively. They kicked 2 field goals in the first quarter, 2 in the second, 1 in the third, and 1 in the fourth. You would think a team that could not get into the end zone, which credit to Kansas City's defense, you figure Kansas City would have won. But Pittsburgh did enough. And I don't think they're going to have another 18-point game moving forward. But, you know, it breaks your heart for Kansas City. And a huge congratulations for toughing it out. But you run the ball, you condense the clock. 170 yards on the ground for Mr. Le'Veon Bell. That's how you win a game. That's how you win a game when you're only kicking field goals. Final game we're going to talk about before we take our last fast break of the show is the Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys. Green Bay winning the game 34-31. All of you Dallas fans right now, I know that when that catch came from Jared Cook toward the end of the game, when you thought you had Aaron Rodgers sacked, you thought you were going to knock him out of the bounce, you thought he was going to throw the ball down the sideline and it wasn't going to make it. I know that as soon as Jared Cook caught the ball, all that came out of your mouth was this.
What?
You know, this absolutely amazing catch that everybody knew, even when it went to a booth review, that he had skidded his feet across the ground and was able to be in sitting position but not put his knee out of bounds, which left every Cowboys fan saying once again,
what?
And it left the man, Mr. Aaron Rodgers, saying,
yeah!
Somebody who figures it out, who just finds a way, someone who you count out, but when it comes to the fourth quarter and it comes to moving on and it comes to now being on an 8-game winning streak after a 4-game losing streak, they resurrect themselves They let Dallas come into Green Bay and beat them 30-16. And they took this one from the number one seed in the NFC, leaving Green Bay Packers fans saying nothing but this in an eight-game losing in an eight-game pardon me winning streak.
Yeah.
And Dallas fans being on the other side of Little John.
What?
34-31. This team was down 28-13, down by 15 points. I looked at my wife. We're sitting at Macho Radio Bar right here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, a stone's throw from the CN Tower. And Mike, the general manager, is there watching this game. And we met Nicole, who was our server. Phenomenally nice girl. Very much appreciate both of them and how great they treated us here in Toronto. So we're watching the game there right in front of the TV. And I say to my wife, okay, all the Dallas Cowboys have to do is score two touchdowns, but they need a two-point conversion. So they get the first touchdown. They kick the extra point. Okay. So now it's 28-20. So now they got to stop the Green Bay Packers that they've given 28 points to, four touchdowns. They stop the Green Bay Packers. They score again. They got to go for two. Dak Prescott runs up the gut, gets enough space, takes that hit, and you know he's going to power his way in because he's that type of player. Tie game 28-28. But now, in my head, I'm like, okay, Dallas is up. The game's over. Because they came back from being down 15, in my head, they were now winning. But you have to remind yourself that it's a tie game. And you gave Green Bay time. So Green Bay, going down the field with not much time to go, bringing it down to the two-minute warning. They get a timeout. Dallas has a timeout. And you see Aaron Rodgers rolling out, going to his left, throwing the ball down the field. Jared Cook left open enough to catch the ball and get to a place where Mason Crosby is going to boot this thing in from 52 yards away. And it just changes everything for Dallas Cowboys for their season. We're going to be talking about it all week. And I want to say it changes everything for their season. I don't want to say it like that. I just want to say it like this. This Dallas Cowboys 13-3 team to me was a lot better than Tony Romo's 13-3 team. And I say that because of what Dak Prescott did to be down by 15 and come all the way back and to tie the game at 31 and then to give up a field goal right at the end of the game. There's nothing he could have done in this case. This was the defense's fault. Sean Lee is 99.9% of this Dallas Cowboys defense down the stretch. And to leave somebody open, Jared Cook, who wasn't even involved that much late in the game. You know, it always seems to be that receiver that everybody forgot about, that receiver that you play off of just a little bit because they're not going to throw the ball his way, and the tight end catches the ball and saves the game. And, you know, just like a Bubba Franks or a Mark Chimura, you know, when you look at the Green Bay Packers, they have tight ends that get the job done. And, you know, this was one of those heartbreaking moments for Dallas. This wasn't a Tony Romo mistake. This wasn't a Dak Prescott rookie mistake. This was a defense leaving somebody an inch, and they took many yards. It wasn't give them an inch, they'll take a yard. It was give them an inch, they'll take plenty of yards, and they'll get to change the field, and they'll kick a field goal and win the game. So, you know, credit to Jared Cook. Credit to Aaron Rodgers. Credit to hard-fought effort. And any Cowboys fan out there that can't tip your hat to Aaron Rodgers and know that very few people make that throw, there are two Dallas Cowboy fans I know very well. Shout out to Ray and shout out to Corey. And both of these gentlemen live in upstate New York. And they, after the game, both said, I love the Cowboys. I'm heartbroken. But that man, Aaron Rodgers, is a stud. That man, Aaron Rodgers, does something that very few people can do. And even though my team lost, and even though they lost because of him, props to the man, Aaron Rodgers, for going to work and doing something great. So that is a true fan as opposed to a fanatic who would be spitting on Aaron Rodgers' picture and, you know, wishing his family ill. Those people are sick and twisted, and there's no place for them in this world, in my opinion, unless they change their ways and get right. In the case of Dallas Cowboy fans that I talked to, mega props to Aaron Rodgers, and how can you not? So a heartbreaking, devastating loss that I will spend more time with this week. Hands down, the most heartbreaking game of the NFL playoffs so far. And to everybody that's so quick as a Philadelphia Eagles fan or a New York Giants fan or a Washington Redskins fan to laugh at Dallas and point your fingers and say, I told you so, and want to buy an Aaron Rodgers jersey. Let me remind you of something. Giants fans, you lost to Aaron Rodgers. Redskins fans, you didn't make the playoffs. And Eagles fans, you started good and you went out into oblivion. So before you knock the Cowboys, remember they got farther than any of your teams did. And respect Dak Prescott. And if one person calls up the show or writes to me and says, should Tony Romo be the quarterback, you're going to launch me into a half an hour minimum that will be nothing but something that will be very entertaining on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora. And we're going to have that discussion because I think you're going to laugh and I think you're going to have some fun with it. So make sure you listen in on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora this week, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, as always, on wakeupcalldt.com and on the live feed directly, mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. I'm going to take my final step aside here on the show and we'll wrap things up, heading into the rest of the week's shows, and to thank Toronto once again.
This is a wake-up call, Fast Break.
Ole Ole Mexican Restaurant at 2803 Brewerton Road in Syracuse, New York, right in the Matydale Plaza, is your home for the fresh Mexican food you've been waiting for. Owned and operated by head chef Lenny Aviles, who prepares every meal with the same care and fresh ingredients as if you were family. Ole Ole isn't just a name, it's a representation of the Mexican heritage in central New York. Make sure to try the Wake Up Call Taco Platter, available anytime. Dine in or take out by calling 315-455-5OLE. That's 315-455-5653. Ole Ole Mexican Restaurant. Authenticity on every plate. The Syracuse Silver Knights, your premier indoor soccer team in central New York. It is great entertainment value and affordable fun for the entire family. Great seats and ticket packages are available by calling 315-303-7261 or go online syracusesilverknights.com. And don't forget to tune in to Wake Up Call with Dan Satora for your chance to win tickets to a Syracuse Silver Knights home game. Here is Tommy from Woody's Jerkwater Pub and Grub.
Woody's is going into its 13th year, and you know, we started out as a what we thought was going to be a neighborhood corner bar, which has turned into, you know, a really good sports bar. We're adding 360-inch TVs. Just a really a great place to have a beer and have some food. So that same Irish pub feel where you can go in there and relax and not worry about, you know, what's going on. I take pride in our food. We have burgers, wraps, salads, Cubans. Our wings, obviously, I think are some of the best in the city. We have a great Philly cheesesteak. We have a great Cuban. All my soccer players love the Buffalo Chicken Wraps.
Woody's Jerkwater Pub and Grub is located in the Matydale Shopping Center off of Brewerton Road in Syracuse, New York.
I'm George Townsend of Honda City with some good advice when buying a new car. The true cost of owning a new car is determined by the appraised value when you trade it. No vehicle appraises higher than a Honda. Next, look for low APRs and deep discounts. You also want low maintenance costs and great fuel economy. That's why my advice to you is to buy a new Honda. Looking pre-owned, visit our Honda Certified Used Car Center. Honda City, 7140 Henry Clay Boulevard, Liverpool, or HondaCity-CNY.com.
It would be a pity if you don't shop.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. You're listening live to Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on the live feed, MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. From Toronto, Ontario, Canada, no big deal. Just another city added on to the live broadcast of where Wake Up Call has been able to call home for a day or two, and to be able to say that we are now internationally broadcasting a show, which is, I mean, the show is always broadcasted internationally. You know, you can listen from anywhere in the world to mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. But to be standing on international soil while you broadcast internationally is a pretty amazing kind of, it's in my brain, but it hasn't sunk in yet. So I want to thank the City of Toronto, Ontario, Canada for allowing me the opportunity to be here and allowing me the opportunity to make history on their soil. So God bless and thank you for that. wrapping up the show here really quick, that Boston College-Syracuse game that Syracuse couldn't afford to lose. They have a winning record in the conference now at 3-2. They started 0-1. Then they went 2-1. Then they went 2-2. Now they're back ahead of 500 in the ACC. Torian Thompson, 5-for-9, 21 minutes in the game, had 10 points against the Boston College Eagles. He's been looking good field goal-wise. Tyler Lydon finally showed up, 16 points on 6-for-10 shooting. Andrew White, 13 points in the game, always able to give something. Had 3 steals in the game, which were huge, to equal Tyus Battles. John Gillen looked more like himself with 6 assists in the game to only 1 turnover and did have a steal to get it back. Tyler Roberson, 27 minutes, relatively quiet though. 6 points but 6 rebounds. Rather see him do that than, you know, anything shy of that. He was almost to a double-double, 6-6. Had an assist and a block in the game. Did not turn the ball over, which was big. Got to see the bench come out, which is a huge thing. No Daywon Coleman, obviously letting you know the state of how his body is right now. So to Belby and Autry and Sutton and Feldman and Akintobi that got out there, you know, obviously at this point in the season to play in an ACC game is huge for these guys who got to play the last 2 minutes of the game. And to Frank Howard, who was able to get out there and assist the ball 3 times, get a steal despite his 1 turnover, not commit any fouls, and have 4 points in the game. So a true point guard feel to it, but it looks like John Gillen is the guy right now that Jim Boeheim trusts more. And obviously Torian Thompson has worked his way into this thing where Syracuse is not really playing a center, but I guess Torian or Tyler would be that, the 2 forwards going out there in the starting 5 and making a splash. And Tyus Battle really showing that he could shoot the ball. So they're going to have a tall task going up against them in this game on the road in North Carolina. Roy Williams and the North Carolina Tar Heels. This is going to be, if they get a steal in this one, all of a sudden we're talking bracketology. If they get a steal in this game, we're talking March Madness. If they steal this game from North Carolina, we're talking March Madness is going to be in the conversation. NCAA tournament is going to be in the conversation. It'll be a quality win, their first quality win in a really long time. So if they're put in this position, this is going to be huge for the Syracuse Orange. So all I can say about what they've done so far is they've been consistently inconsistent against good teams, but they've been able to resurrect and avenge their loss to Boston College. Miami and Pittsburgh still look good as victories for the Orange, but this North Carolina win would literally put them back on the discussion table. So if they continue to win and be strong, they can still get to 20 wins in the regular season, but they've played 18 games, so they only have 13 left. In order to get to 20 wins, they would have to essentially win 9 of their last 13 games. They'd have to go 9-4. That's going to be very, very hard to do for the Orange, very, very hard to get to. But if there's anything I've learned about Syracuse and growing up in Central New York and learning about this team and covering this team every day for the last 7 years, if not longer, it's that the games that you count them out in and the games they're not supposed to win are the ones where they can shock you. So just have that in the back of your mind for this game. I want to let everybody know in Mississauga, really quick here in Canada, there's an Amber Alert for a teenage girl who's 15 years old who was abducted by 2 men in Mississauga. So yes, we think of Canada as peaceful and quiet and wonderful, but you know, there is unfortunately crime everywhere. If you know anything, please make sure that you go to the authorities in Mississauga or wherever you might see this girl. There's pictures out. There's an Amber Alert. If you see it, please do something about it. Do not stay quiet. Let's get this girl home safe. Let's get her well. Let's make sure she's okay. I pray for these men to stop doing whatever negatively they're bringing into this world and to turn toward God. And I ask that the good Lord, and along with hardworking people on his side, will bring this girl home and that she'll be okay. Happy Martin Luther King Day. God bless you all. Thank you so much for your support. And once again, thank you to Canada for making history with me. Toronto, Ontario, Canada, the first place that I could say that Wake Up Call was on international ground, on international soil, digging the feet into the heart of Toronto, Ontario, Canada, with the CN Tower and the Rogers Centre and the Air Canada Centre, minutes from where I'm sitting right here doing the show live. Thank you to everybody that listened in to my first ever international show being on the grounds. You can listen to the show anywhere around the country and the world by going to mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. This show is the first time that I ever broadcasted live on location internationally. So thank you to Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and thank you to all the cities, including St. Louis, Missouri, Charlotte, North Carolina, Greensboro, North Carolina, as well as Houston, Texas, Chicago, Illinois, New York City, New York, Washington, D.C., for allowing me to be live on location at your beautiful, wonderful cities. And thank you, of course, as always. And also thank you to Orlando, Florida, Jacksonville, Florida, and St. Augustine, Florida. And a huge shout out to Syracuse, New York for being my home and, you know, being my heart. So thank you so much. God bless you. Be well. Make sure that you go out and support the companies that support me in Central New York. If you're in Toronto, come over to Macho Radio Bar and check them out. Mike, Nicole, thank you for everything there. In the meantime, God bless you. Happy Martin Luther King Day. Do something nice for somebody else today. And for the love of the good Lord, may we please, please be one people, regardless of color, race, this, that, and anything. Let's literally all be together in this thing. I don't care what country you're from, how much money, background, ethnicity, any of that, sexual orientation, sex, religion, whatever. If we can't hold hands as people, we can't do anything right. So hold your neighbor's hand today, even if you've never had before, and have yourself a phenomenal day. God bless you. Be safe. Take care. And once again, thank you to Toronto, Ontario, Canada for making history with me today. I'll talk with you tomorrow and every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. And one more happy anniversary to my wife, who is the absolute best partner to have this life with. I love her. Kate, you are absolutely amazing. You changed my life a long, long time ago. And if not for you, I would not have this journey because it's so special to me. I mean, I've always been a man. I've always been a person that will go on a journey with or without anybody else. But it's a lot more fun to go on it with somebody who can look me in the eye with so much love every single day. So it's with extreme gratitude that I thank my wife, that I thank Toronto, that I thank Canada, that I thank God above everybody, and that I thank you for being a part of this. Join me on facebook.com/wakeupcalldt, Twitter @calldt, and on Instagram now @DanTortoraMedia. Have a great day. I'll talk with you soon.